My name is Garland Robinson. We're going to be talking about vain religion. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure religion, undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Since there is pure religion, since there is undefiled religion, we know then there is impure religion, and there is defiled religion. As we talk about vain religion, we know and we've discussed in previous lessons that an inherited religion is vain, a social religion is vain, a religion that is filled with power or prestige, that is in vain. Let's now continue some thoughts in regards to additional ways in which our practice of religion is vain. For one, a religion of convenience is vain. You know, if you attend church where you go simply because it's close to you or because it's convenient for you, that's not the right reason. How convenient was it for Jesus to suffer his pain and agony and then succumbing to death upon the cross? That wasn't very convenient, was it? So religion is not simply a convenient religion. You remember Matthew chapter 26, verse 39? And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Jesus' religion was not a vain religion. Was it convenient for the apostles to suffer as they did for the cause of Christ? We read in Acts chapter 5 and verse 40, And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. In Acts chapter 12 and verse 2, we read where James, the brother of John, was killed with the sword. The religion of the Lord is not simply one of convenience. If we are only members of what we are, or we attend services where we do because it's convenient, because it just happens to work out that way, or that's what we think is best for us, that's not the right reason. The worship of the Lord is not one only or purely of convenience. The religion of the Lord is not one that is just because we love to conform. A religion of conformity is vain. It may be that you attend church simply because your wife does, or maybe your husband does, or your best friends or something. Well, it's true that families need to be together, but that's not the reason that we need to worship as we do and where we do. That's not enough, simply because we're conforming to those around us. The religion of the Lord rises above human ties. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. That involves more than convenience. It is a matter of conviction. And so unless we worship because of conviction, because of what the Bible teaches, and we are convinced that this is the way God wants us to go, then we're not doing as God would have us to do. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, we read, He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Even when family is involved, we must not conform to their standard, to their religion, simply in order to keep family together. But because that is the command of God, we worship as God commands us to do, not simply following our parents. So a religion of conformity is vain. A religion that is easy, it's also vain. You know, a church may make membership easy for those who attend. You don't have to do anything. It may be popular. May be that everybody else goes there. It may be that, oh, come here and you won't be disturbed with anything we teach or anything we practice, and that it'll be easy, but that's not the religion the Lord would have us to embrace. In Amos chapter 6 and verse 1 we read, Woe to them that are at ease in Zion, and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief among the nations to whom the house of Israel came. So we ought not to lie down in beds of ivory and be at ease. God doesn't change His will to suit the whims of men. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, we read, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." What a powerful verse this is here in the New Testament, a statement of the Lord, and it's what we call the Sermon on the Mount. What does the Lord say? He says there's going to be a lot of people that are practicing their religion, even in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of Mohammed, not in the name of some foreign deity or some false god or idol, but in the name of Jesus Christ. And He says these people depend upon the Lord. They trust in the Lord. And they're even calling upon His name. And He says, but no, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, they'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, who is it then? Those that do the will of the Father which is in heaven. Now that is a serious verse. How many times do we find people today that are calling upon the name of Jesus and they trust sincerely in His name, but their religion is vain because they're not obeying the Lord's will that we read about in the Scriptures. Oh, what a powerful verse that is. God did not see how hard He could make our lives. He simply tells us what is right and what is wrong. The Lord's way is not an easy way. It's a way that's right, and it's a way we've got to go if we're going to be pleasing to Him. We're to strive to live the Lord's way. In Luke chapter 13, verse 23 and 24, the Bible says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able." Why is that? You mean a lot of people are going to seek to enter in that way, but not able? Well, that's what the Lord said. So it's not an easy way. And if your religion is an easy religion, then it's a vain religion, because the Lord's way is straight. The Lord's way is narrow. The Lord's way is close. That is, it's hemmed in. Not everyone is willing to buckle down and obey the Lord's teaching. So the religion that's easy is vain. A religion that requires the bare minimum, that's a vain religion. You know, some want to get by on just as little as they possibly can. Let me ask you a question. How often do you attend the services of the church? Is it just when it's convenient? Is it just when it's pretty weather outside? How often do you attend? The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Friend, when you have the means of going, when you have the opportunity to attend the assemblings of the saints, and you choose not to go, that is a deliberate sin. And the very next verse there in Hebrews 10 points that out. It speaks of it as a willful sin. And what a severe punishment awaits those who sin willfully. Well, then how much do I have to give in a collection on the first day of the week? We read of those who sow sparingly shall reap sparingly, and those that sow bountifully shall reap bountifully. It's not a matter of how little can I do or how little can I give to be faithful to the Lord and still go to heaven. There's a serious attitude problem there. A disposition of life that's not in harmony with the Lord's will. Some say, well, just how much do I have to do in order to get by and still go to heaven? Well, Luke 17, verse 10 says, when we have done all those things which we are commanded, we are still unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do. So, friend, when we have a religion that we just want to get by, we just want to get by the skin of our teeth, we just want to do as little as we can, then our religion is vain. Did Jesus do as little as he could to get by with? Is he our example? Did God do as little as possible? Did he not sacrifice his only begotten Son that he might accomplish salvation? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, God didn't do as little as he possibly could, but he gave his all, he sacrificed his only begotten Son. And then a religion is vain when it's based simply on a church building. And that may sound odd, but you know, I know people that it seems like they're converted more to the physical structure, a building someplace, than they are the Lord or his word. They will go down with it no matter what because they're tied to that building. Maybe that's where they grew up or that's where their parents went. Doesn't matter if the doctrine is right or wrong. Doesn't matter if something is immoral or not. They're tied to the building. Well, friend, that's a vain religion. Friend, a building is simply a man-made structure. That's all. It's going to perish. The Lord didn't die for a building, a physical structure. The Lord died for his spiritual body, the church. It is the saved. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Friend, we are members of a spiritual body. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, we find where the elders at Ephesus were told to take heed to themselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made them overseers to feed the church of God. Now listen to this, which he purchased with his own blood. Friend, the Lord's church is a precious entity. It is a spiritual body purchased by the blood of the Lord, and that's not connected to a material or a physical building. The church is the body of the saved, and the Lord will claim it as his own, present it unto the Father one day, pure and holy. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23. And then the last thing we'll mention is that a religion is vain that says and does not do. In Matthew 23, verses 1 to 3, then Jesus spake to the multitude, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Friend, we need, as the old expression is, to put our money where our mouth is. That is, simply to be faithful and honest. Follow through with genuine service in the Lord. You know, it's easy to talk about the Lord's work, but it's another thing altogether to be involved and busy doing the Lord's work. When the Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he just wasn't taking up space. He just didn't say that, but it was something that we need to do, must do, if we're going to be faithful in the Lord's sight. Friend, the only true religion, pure religion, undefiled religion, is one that faithfully follows the Lord's way. Are you involved in that? Or is your religion vain? Is it false? Is it impure? I hope and pray that it's not. Get back to following the way of God.